Welcome, I'm your host, Jules DeVito, and you're listening to the Highly Sensitive Human Podcast, the show that offers an insight into the world of the highly sensitive person and helps those who identify with the traits of high sensitivity to feel more empowered and resilient without denying their authentic gifts. To this podcast episode where I'm really excited to be talking with Alan. So Alan is a coach and breathwork instructor who uses and integrates a lot of breathwork into his practice. Alan and I connected when I was working at a mindfulness retreat and wellbeing center in Portugal. And during my time there, I offered a workshop on high sensitivity, which gave Alan a new insight into the temperament and how he relates to the term. As a result, Alan has ended up supporting and attending our annual HSP retreat in the UK. And so in this episode, we talk about Alan's experience as a coach and facilitating breathwork sessions. And we also discuss the benefits of breathwork for highly sensitive people. And more specifically, we talk about high sensitivity in men. So Alan talks about his lived experience of identifying as a HSP. And having found out about the temperament, he shares how this has impacted his life in quite a significant way. So I'm really excited to share this episode with you, and I hope you enjoy it. So welcome, Alan, and thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
So obviously we met at New Life Portugal, and I was wondering if we could start by saying a few things about our time there. So yeah, would you be able to say a bit about New Life Portugal and what it was you were doing there, and yeah, how we met as well?
Yeah, actually, New Life dates back a bit more for both of us, right? Mm. So we never met in Thailand, in New Life Thailand, but I know you were there for some time, and I was there as a guest more than 5 years ago. And yeah, through that, I knew that they have a space in Portugal as well. And I applied there as a volunteer in during a stage of my life where I was switching careers from software sales to coaching. And I've been working at New Life for about 6 months. And yeah, we met, I believe, this year, beginning of this year.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
And so yeah, it was before we met a bit of a different time over there. But it was, yeah, just super nice to connect with someone like you who, you know, works on these topics that I'm also very interested in. And I feel like we clicked from day one. And, and it's great to have this valuable exchange with you and, you know, those daily walks discussing about new learnings, new ideas. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was great.
Yeah, and I know for myself, it was a really nourishing time. So New Life Portugal is all about this integrative, holistic way of supporting people through their healing and transformation. So I was offering coaching, counseling there, workshops. We would have daily morning meetings where we met in community and morning meditation practice. And I found, even though I was working there, it was such a transformative time for myself as well. And I think one of the biggest aspects of that was the community and living in community, mm-hmm. which at times brought a lot of challenges, but also there was something so profound about every day being able to connect and see people and talk about what was going on in terms of your struggles, insights. And I know, yeah, you and I had a lot of those insights and conversations during our time there as well. So I was wondering for you, what did you find to be the most transformative aspect of that experience being there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think there are many things that I could list, but definitely I would agree with the community aspect that you just mentioned. So yeah, living so closely with so many people and feeling, you know, being reflected by each person every day and, you know, seeing what triggers you, you know, maybe feeling the triggers in them, those small, you know, details in the face expression, for example, you'd see those people day in and day out. Yeah, that was a very new experience and something to, you know, always reflect on, I feel. So I felt like I was continuously learning about myself during the time there. Also, having a routine is something that I found very, very helpful. So this daily routine that was, like you said, repeating every day, with the morning meeting in the morning, gathering together, meditating together, and then breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the same time. So really having this structure that I didn't have to take care of myself, so I had more time for everything else, basically.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I also found the routine to be so invaluable. And I guess we'll go on to talk about this, how that relates to being a highly sensitive person as well. Because I'm interested by this sense of I'm also an introvert. So I'm highly sensitive and introverted. But I also really crave connection and community and being around people. It's really important to me and my well-being. So it'll be great to talk more about how that goes hand in hand with being highly sensitive. So do you relate to being highly sensitive? I'm curious to hear more about that for you and also what it means in terms of being a man and being highly sensitive as well.
Yeah. So to be honest, I found out about HSP, about highly sensitivity, through you in that level of detail when we met at New Life.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember hearing this term before, but you know, I didn't really look into it. A friend of mine, he told me that he's highly sensitive, and I was like, "Oh, is this like something that you say just because you feel sensitive, or is that like a proper definition?" And you know, we spoke in German, so him saying that in German just sounded new to me. And so only when you gave the workshop at New Life about highly sensitivity, and you know, provided the test by Elaine Aron, I believe.
Yes.
Mm. And yeah, I realized and recognized that there are many aspects about highly sensitivity that I feel in myself a lot, resonated a lot. And it really shifted my perception of highly sensitivity, it shifted my perception about some weaknesses I thought I had.
Right.
So for instance, I used to think that I was never the type of guy that is good in groups. You know, so I'm just more the one-to-one guy, and I don't have strength, you know, being in groups, being vocal in groups. And lots of my male friends especially were quite self-confident and vocal and dominant. So then I thought, you know, like, I'm just not like that. This is, you know, they're really strong with that and I'm not. And it is what it is, you know. I focus on maybe one-to-one conversations, or maybe three people or four people max, but that's it. And through, you know, finding out more about highly sensitivity, I recognize that this is actually not a weakness but a strength. If I know how to, control it, or maybe I should say, depending on the perspective that I take. So if I know that there is this certain group that I will meet tonight for a party or something, I can now shift my awareness or energy level, I should say, maybe to just cope with that group in a way that suits me and suits my energy, right?
Right.
And in other groups, I know, for example, I can let go and just, you know, be completely myself and vulnerable and open, and that will also be fine, and that will probably give me energy, because in this group I would feel so comfortable.
Right.
And knowing that is really a big difference maker for me in my life when it comes to my energy level. And connected with that, I feel like a sense of overthinking as well. You know, like, I would ask myself, why don't I feel comfortable in this setting? What's going on that's bothering me? It seems like it doesn't bother other people. Why, you know, and does it agitate me? And today I know it's probably of something that I feel overwhelmed, and now I have some helpful breathing tools that I can use to calm down and ground myself, and with that, it's just a very different level of quality in life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I appreciate you saying that you only found out about it recently, because I think that happens for a lot of people, and especially for a lot of men, that they're finding out about the term the highly sensitive person later in life. And as you pointed out, when they find out about the term, it really helps them to reframe their experiences and see it from a different perspective. So rather than seeing it as a weakness, what I hear you saying is you can instead attend more to what you need in different situations. So, yeah, you can obviously apply different resources and tools to help with that overwhelm or whatever it is you're experiencing in different situations, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, we just talked about this aspect of being overwhelmed, right? Mm. But it has so many other implications as well. Interactions with my friends, with male friends especially, you know, like today, even with some friends that necessarily don't talk about emotions, they can, but it's not something, you know, that happens naturally, let's say, in every conversation. Even with those friends now, I feel like I'm way more myself, and I talk about my emotions. I talk what's going on for me. I talk about what I'm sensing in my body. And you know, I feel like I can stand up for that.
Right.
Because I know today, I also know that's a strength, and that's something that I hope more people, especially more men, will get access to.
Mm.
You know, those emotions, those feelings that maybe can be overwhelming, but they're also beautiful if you know how to deal with them.
Right. Absolutely. And you mentioned breath work, so I'd love to ask you a bit more about that. I know that you work as a life coach and a breath work coach as well. So this is a big part of your practice, and you mentioned how it relates to navigating the overwhelm and the emotions. So yeah, can you tell us a bit more about how you use this as a tool, especially as a highly sensitive person?
Yeah, yes, I would love to. So I discovered breath work about 2.5 years ago through Wim Hof.
Mm, right.
And in direct combination with cold showers. There was my daily routine in the beginning, that I was doing some of his breathing methods, especially the very activating one, and then going into a cold shower. And back then, it was during the pandemic, I was very surprised how much this helped me to shift my energy.
Right.
And I've been practicing that for quite some time, only until at New Life, I discovered that through a breathwork coach there, I discovered that there's much, much more depth into breathwork, into breathing, functional breathing. So what's the correct way to breathe? And I'm saying all of this because breathwork is very popular at the moment. There are many, many breathwork practitioners out there, more and more coming up, so many teachings and all of that. And it's definitely like a bit of a trend as yoga has been 10 years ago, I would say. But it's easier to get a certification as a breathwork coach. You know, you can just do it online. You don't have to go to any retreat and stay there for a month and learn. But, you know, it's quite easy to call yourself breathwork facilitator or coach. And I'm saying that because as a highly sensitive person, you want to learn and know the differences in the breathing tools, method.
Right.
There are activating ones, so very strong breathings, very short breathings that are strong, that activate the nervous system, and they can be very agitating.
Right.
When you're already highly sensitive and agitated, stressed, and, you know, feeling a sense of anxiety, doing an activating breathwork method, or activating breathing, doesn't necessarily help you with that,
right.
that state of mind and energy level. It can make it even worse, you know. So one should know the difference between that they're activating ones and calming ones. And for me, only at the time at New Life and when I did my breathwork certification, and I was really digging into that depth of breathing, functional breathing, breathwork, that I now know that it's extremely important to rather practice those calming and grounding ones, because especially in those ever-changing and super dynamic times that we are in right now, with so much happening around us, for an HSP, that's even more overwhelming than it used to.
Right.
And it's going to get even worse, you know, in the sense of speed and overwhelm. And that's why I like to teach, or I like to focus my breathing coaching around calming and grounding breathing, but also using activating ones to really shake off the stress and the energy blockages that we have. For this, activating breathing is very, very effective. But we need to know tools that help us to ground afterwards and during times of agitation and anxiety.
Mm. Yeah, so I appreciate what you're saying about the fact there's different types of breath work, and it's really important to differentiate between the different styles. So for a highly sensitive person, how would we know what is needed at a particular time? So you're talking about the activating breath work practices. Is there ever a time that they can be helpful? You've already started talking about it somewhat, but for a highly sensitive person, when might they be a good practice, and what kind of time of day as well would it be a good time to practice those?
Yeah, very good questions. So I feel like most of the breathwork sessions that are offered here in Berlin, where I live, or probably in London and in many different cities in England as well, that these breathing sessions are usually quite activating. So there you can find different kinds of breathworks, like holotropic breathing, transformative breathing, the Wim Hof style, and different others. And they are usually, I think, offered in the evenings, right? So this breathwork session, this kind of breathwork session, can be very helpful after a long day, you know, stressful day, and going there. And yeah, it's again, activating your nervous system, but deactivating the prefrontal cortex, which is our thinking mind, because this strong activating breathing tells our nervous system, there is something going on. You know, we are in this fight or flight mode. We're stressed, but you're in a safe space and setting, and you know everything is all right. So basically, what happens? Your thinking mind, the prefrontal cortex, gets deactivated, and you connect to the amygdala, which is the part of the brain where you know emotions are processed. And in that state, we can then tap into our body, into our emotions that are stuck in the body. And with that, if it's a good breathwork facilitator, he or she would help us to really let go, surrender, and relax the body, to let go of those tensions, the daily stress, any energy blockages, and then having a moment to wind down afterwards and take it easy, maybe meditate later. Would help us a lot to release stress and daily anxiety, anything that is stuck. But again, it's important to know those tools that we can then use to ground ourselves, to meditate, and feel the stillness as well.
Absolutely. And so would you recommend this is a practice that someone engages in every day? I'm curious about how to develop a good routine with the breath work. So for a highly sensitive person, if they wanted to integrate this into their day-to-day life, how could they do that, or what might that look like for them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to look at it from two sides. So on the one hand, understanding those different breathing styles, what they do, knowing different techniques, and practicing those is one thing. I think it's also important to understand what's the right way to breathe. So this functional breathing part, because we never learned how to breathe properly. You know,
right.
we can get without food for weeks, without water for days, but try not breathing for 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and that's why it's funny that we never really learned how to breathe properly, and there are, you know, just a few basics that that we need to know, which is, we should never breathe through the mouth unless it's high level sports, something where you need to breathe through the mouth. But otherwise, the nose is all that we should focus on. It filters bacteria from the air. You know, it warms up the air, and you can breathe much slower through the nose. So breathing through the nose would be number one. And the number two would be breathing deeply. So what in yoga we call belly breathing is actually more accurate would be diaphragmatic breathing. So breathing into this part below our lungs, filling that up. And the diaphragm is a muscle, so we can train it. And, you know, just looking for some practices to train the diaphragm and breathe deeper. And then the last thing, what I already just said, breathing deeper and slower. So what I always like to say is breathe in slowly. Breathe in deeply. Breathe out slowly. And yeah, that's I would say a basis for starting to improve my breathing patterns, and and then practicing those breathing methods, those different ones. You can do it in the correct way, and just become a more vital and more energized human being. Because the breathing is, connected to our nervous system, to directly with our organs, and with our mind. So we cannot control our mind, but we control the breath. The only function in the body that is conscious and unconscious.
Absolutely. And I think that in itself is such a powerful knowing. I know that before I came across breath work, I didn't even realize, but for a long time in the past, I would be holding my breath when I was feeling anxious, or I wouldn't be breathing into my belly. I would only be breathing into my chest. And sometimes, I'd be breathing really fast as well, but again, quite shallow breathing. So I think some of the things you've just shared in terms of breathing slowly, breathing into the belly, just being aware of what the breath is doing is so powerful in itself. So even if you don't know the details of particular techniques, you can start to apply that straight away, just simply by noticing what your breath is doing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you asked me earlier what could be a good routine for starting off with breath work. Honestly, a few conscious breaths a day are already enough. You know, you don't even have to necessarily integrate it into a routine or create a new routine. You can do it when going to the subway, or when sitting in the cab, or when entering the home. You know, make it a routine, you could say, or a habit. When you put your key into the door, just take three deep and conscious breaths,
right,
and leave everything behind you that you know that you don't want to take home. The breath can really serve as this tool to move energy, move those thoughts away. You know, using the out breath as letting go,
right.
And just a few of such breaths a day already make a difference. And you know, if you want to become a bit more serious about it, I would say 5 to 10 minutes in the morning, where you practice breathing into the diaphragm, also holding some air after breathing out, so your CO2 tolerance becomes higher, and that's what we want to achieve as well. And so doing some of the functional breathing techniques, and then practicing a method that you enjoy, that you feel is something that might help you now, which, you know, I can also introduce some breathing methods if you like to. But yeah, that's like an ongoing process, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that last year you came on the Highly Sensitive Person retreat that we did in Kent in June, and it was such a beautiful experience. And on the retreat, you led us through some breathwork activities and practices, which I found so profound. I remember one of them, we were laying down and listening to music as well. And I was in such a relaxed, blissful state during that. So I was wondering if you could talk a bit about what you led us through on the retreat, and also to mention it, because we will be doing the retreat again next year in June. So could you share a bit more about that practice?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to say again, I love reminiscing this retreat. It was such a beautiful experience. So thank you for that. And it's such a wonderful weekend, really. I was trying to combine those things that I just explained, right? A little bit of the, on the functionality side. So practicing that a little bit and trying to, you know, show everyone those few basics that, you know, everyone should practice to just become more vital and healthy. Sorry. And on the other hand, introducing different breathing methods and tools to practice and feel how it makes us feel differently. And I used some activating breathing to get us into this more emotional state, or feeling our body and sensing ourselves. And we were lucky to have silent disco headphones. So I was able to, I mean, this was the one that really stuck out to me, the session. I felt really, really beautiful. When everyone had headphones on, I was playing music through the headphones and guiding the session through the microphone. I feel like many people were able to let go, to relax into it. And everything was about letting go, the session. So hopefully, you know, it gave a few people the possibility to let go of what no longer serves them. And I could really feel that in my heart as well, that it was a beautiful session and a beautiful experience overall.
Yeah, and reflecting on it as well, I'm just thinking about how a lot of what we did on the retreat were very embodied practices. So we had yoga, we had the breathwork sessions, we had a silent disco, which was similar to ecstatic dance, and we were out in nature, and it was so beautiful to practice that. Yeah, and just doing it in community as well. I think something that was so amazing about the retreat was bringing like-minded people together. And also, I loved the fact that we had pretty much an equal number of men and women on the retreat. And I remember at one point we divided into two groups so that the women could come together to share their experiences. And then you as men were able to connect and talk about your experience of being a highly sensitive man. So that kind of leads me into the next topic, where I'd love to ask you more about that experience of being a highly sensitive man. I know you said you found out about the term quite recently, but also in sharing and connecting with other men about this topic, how has that supported you? And how has it helped you to make sense of your experience?
I think I was lucky, or good. There was a good timing maybe on my side when I arrived at New Life in Portugal. That Julian, the founder of New Life, he asked me if I would like to lead the men's groups over there.
Right.
And it was a weekly men's group with rotating men that participated because new guests arrived. And I remember doing or participating in a men's group 5 years ago at New Life in Thailand. And I loved this experience.
Mm.
What I loved is this sense of feeling I'm not in this by myself or alone.
Mm.
And then being able to facilitate those men's groups really showed me that men from different age groups, different backgrounds, different countries, from different jobs, occupations, share the same. We all, because it's also the case for me, of course, we all want to feel that we are alive and experience this amazing beauty of life around us, and these experiences that we make, and people that we meet, love and heartbreak. And everyone was sharing so vulnerably in these groups that I realized that we all have this, I think women have easier access into emotions than men usually. But men have that too. And I think it doesn't only count for highly sensitive men, but for all men. But maybe it's a bit more buried, I would say. But when being able to share in a safe space, in a confidential space, with others that are there and respecting each other's, not cross-talking over each other or giving advice or anything, then beautiful things happen and get shared, and you realize, wow, I never thought of him like this. I thought he would be very closed, very stuck in his thinking, but then he would open up and share, and from the heart. And so on the retreat, having this men's group with highly sensitive men, even more so, I felt that there was this connection and depth of sharing, because we feel similar in so many ways in terms of how we experience the world around us. But I really do think that many more men are sensitive and have access to that sensitivity. It's somewhere in there, for sure.
Absolutely. And I do agree that it's more difficult for men to access their vulnerability or their sensitivity or their emotions, because I think there's more stigma attached to it, especially growing up as a boy. You're often told things like, don't cry, just get over it, you're being too sensitive, too soft. So I was wondering if you could speak a little bit to that. Is that something you experienced in terms of that stigma of what a man should be, and what it means to be able to access your emotions and more, that more vulnerable side of being a man?
Yeah, So in my case, I grew up in Germany, in Berlin. Mm. But my parents immigrated here from Poland about 40 years ago. And about 40 years ago, Poland was very different Poland as it is now. Mm. It was still very traditional. It was way more simple and coming from there, you know, my parents and others in their age group grew up with parents who suffered from war, from huge trauma, from not having anything, you know, like food scarcity. Poland had a very, very rough time. And so usually I would say men in Poland are very sensitive, but have difficulties expressing this. Mm. And there was also the case for my dad, who was a very sensitive man, but it's oftentimes came out through aggression. Especially, I mean, there was a phase in life where this was the case, but not for too long. But because we had such a good connection to each other, him and I, and my brother and him as well, we were able to talk about those things, you know. And he was expressing what he's feeling and what's going through him. Sometimes maybe sharing a bit too much. You know, you don't always want to hear everything as a child. But looking back, I loved it because, you know, you could feel like this 40-something year old man, you know, is sensitive and is feeling and is not having having maybe a difficult time, but he's trying, you know? Right. And so my brother and I, we talk about that a lot nowadays, that we are very thankful for that. And so for a long time, as I said earlier, I thought it was a weakness, that sensitive and overthinking things. And, you know, I was always looking for the bigger meaning, the why behind things. Today, only today, I know that this is this can really be seen as a strength. It's really a shift in perspective.
Yeah.
And then you know, there's a new reality because you know, knowing how to deal with it helps such a great deal. And then comparing it to my dad now, it's you know, knowing how to express those emotions and who to share it with and how to share it and then, you know, you can channel this overwhelm, this emotion, this sadness, this whatever it is, but doing it in a way that works for us, with the awareness that we know how to what to do and how to do it. I think we can all really shift our perception and create a life that just works better for us, and where we can thrive more and better, and where we can express our emotions, and doing that with other men, with other women, you know, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
And I really hope, and I see there's a shift coming and happening with my clients, with the men's groups that I'm in, because we know that we cannot continue like that, and there has to be a change, and it's happening slowly, but I've been really feeling hopeful recently.
Yeah.
Of the people I met and the conversations I had on such a deep emotional level.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's incredible that you had that experience with your father growing up, and also with your brother, this ability to be able to talk about your emotions and have that modeled to you as well. And I know for a lot of people don't have that experience with their families or their parents. And I think that's why the community groups and the men's group, the women's groups are so important, because we can still find that later in life. If you didn't have that experience growing up, then you can still reach out and find those connections that you're speaking to. I think it is happening more and more. And I think that's also why we do the HSP retreat every year, because we want to bring people together and have that opportunity. So, I also feel hopeful that we're accessing a new era where we're having more open conversations about high sensitivity and about emotions and how we can support each other too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And you know, the breath can be such a easy tool really to access. Everyone has it, you know, everyone's doing it the whole time. You can do it anywhere, you know, so really helping you to calm down, to relax, to connect with yourself, letting go of things as well, surrendering more and more to the flow of life and not holding on to so much. That's where I believe the breath is just such a useful and more than useful. I don't even know the right words to explain it, but it's, you know, it's so funny because it's
essential.
So,
So thank you so much for everything you've shared. And I like to ask this question to everyone I interview on the podcast. So do you have a favorite book or quote or poem or something you'd like to share, something which you return to again and again or relates to this topic today?
Yeah. So I think my favorite books, especially recently, were the books by Michael Allen Singer. He writes a lot about the art of letting go and surrendering to life.
Right.
You know, I know I've said it earlier in the podcast, but I never really understood what that means, letting go, surrendering. You know, like I heard it a lot, but I feel that he explains it really, really well and provides very helpful tools as well to maybe even work with the breath and letting go of, you know, any attachments that we have, small or big ones, but letting go will allow us to lead a lighter life. So I would say that was a very profound book or books by him. And actually, in combination with that, I actually have a favorite poem that I really love that is also about letting go.
Fantastic.
I could read it out.
Please. Yeah, I would love to hear it.
Okay. I think you've heard me reading it before.
I think so, yeah. I think I know the one.
Okay. I was the type of person that held onto things too tight. I'm able to release my grip when it no longer felt right. And although it gave me blisters and my fingers would all ache, I always thought that holding on was worth the pain it takes. I used to think in losing things, I'd lose part of me too. That slowly I'd become someone my heart no longer knew. Then one day, something happened. I dropped what I once held dear, but my soul became much lighter instead of filled with fear. And it taught my heart that some things are not meant to last for long. They arrive to teach you lessons and then continue on. You don't have to cling to people who no longer make you smile or do something you've come to hate if it isn't worth your while. But sometimes the thing you're fighting for isn't worth the cost, and not everything you'll ever lose is bound to be a loss. It's by Erin Hansen.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. And I have heard it before and it's full of wisdom. I really love that poem. It really speaks to me as well. And I think it's such an important topic for so many people. Because as you said, this concept of letting go, in theory, it sounds quite simple. But in practice, it's much harder to actually embody and learn to let go and come into that act of surrendering and being in the present moment. I know it's something I find difficult and I have to come back to this practice over and over again. And I know the breath is really helpful for that. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that poem. And I will put the poem and the books you mentioned in the show notes so people can access those easily.
Cool.
And is there anything else you'd like to share today? Is there anything we haven't mentioned or touched upon or anything to summarize what we've been speaking to?
So, yeah, I really enjoyed our conversation. First of all, I want to say that I haven't even realized how fast time passed. So thank you for that, first of all. And I just, when you shared about maybe not having the tools or not, that it's sometimes not that easy to let go. I completely agree. And because of that, I just had this realization that actually those retreats like New Life, like the HSP retreat, you know, I had my first retreat a few weeks ago. They're so important to create the space where we can actually really tap into this space of letting go and really surrendering and feeling safe and really easing into that. Because doing that at home where we maybe have to take care of our kids and you know, our partners, you know, having a schedule and all of that, it's difficult to really surrender and do the deep work. So having those kind of retreats and this realizing is so important because it provides the safe space to do so.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And I know personally, I've had some of my most profound awakening experiences or transformative experiences on retreat, retreats that I've been on, that I've attended. And a lot of that has come from, again, the community. And also just immersing in that practice, as you're saying, when there's no distractions, when there's not your day-to-day work or family that you have to attend to, then you can really engage in the practices.
And so, it's beautiful to see that all those modalities are also coming together, yoga, breathwork, coaching, men's group, women's circles, and all of that. So, like you said, it's really, it allows us to embody it as well.
Yeah.
And I think in the past it was more like separate modalities, which is only part of the game.
Exactly.
It's really good to see actually.
So thank you so much for this conversation. I've really enjoyed it too. And is there anywhere listeners can go to find out more about you and your work and your retreat and the things that you're offering?
People can connect on LinkedIn, Alan Piatek, and on Instagram, it's Alan Friday without an I, because Piatek in Polish means Friday.
Fantastic. So again, I'll put the links to those social media platforms on the show notes so people can check you out on Instagram and LinkedIn as well. Thank you again.
Thanks for joining me today on Highly Sensitive Humans. Make sure to visit my website, highlysensitivehumans.com, where I also offer one-to-one coaching for highly sensitive people, and a members area with monthly community meetings. You can also visit the Highly Sensitive Human Academy to find out more about upcoming online trainings, including a 3-month professional training on how to coach highly sensitive people, and a 3-month professional training on working with highly sensitive children. And if you found value in the show today, I'd really appreciate a rating. And you can also support the show by making a donation. Your donations are what enable the production of the podcast and enable the show to keep running.